The following podcast is not affiliated with the developers who have created the games being reviewed. The reviews are solely the opinions of the hosts to be used to make an educated decision on what games to download and play.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, gamers, and welcome to Budget Arcade, the number one free-to-play gaming podcast in the world. I guess I can't really say that anymore since we are branching out to...
we're overtaken by the enemy.
What enemy is that?
We're now the number two. Never mind. My name's Jeff. No. That's Scott.
Hey, and I'm Mark.
And I'll go ahead and do this because Scott doesn't know how to welcome people in. This week we were reviewing a game called Ocean's Heart, and we have the pleasure of actually being joined by its sole creator and developer. I believe that's true, that he did everything in this game. This is Max.
Howdy, howdy.
Do you say your last name? Because it says it on the game.
Yeah. Yeah, Max Mraz.
Yeah, and he...
It's like Jason Mraz, but with a Max.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to remember it.
That's how I remembered it.
And he recently just released his game, Ocean's Heart, on the Switch. You can get it now. It's, of course, also available for PC. And we had the pleasure of reviewing it this week.
And this is episode number 108, by the way.
There you go.
See, so, Jeff, you took over for
I
Scott.
I did. I'm sorry.
You
go
didn't,
ahead, Scott. I threw everyone
you,
off. By
you kind of you kind of took over for Mark, too, because you just kind of like put
Listen,
everything out there about the game.
Mark, what was this week's game?
This week we played a free-to-play game.
No, we didn't.
Blah, blah, blah. And it was released in blah, blah, blah.
All right. So, Mark, you know, you two can sign off. I got this.
I got you. No, listen, I'm here just for commentary.
All right.
Which means he hated the game.
All right.
Bro, no. Don't put words in my mouth.
I can already feel Max and his regret. All right.
No, I do really respect you inviting developers onto your show just to drag them. I think that's a creative format. Not many people are doing that these days.
Joke's on you. We actually love the game. Thank you for letting us play.
All right. So I'll get started. And just real quick to run the game down. It is very much, and I don't think I'm going to surprise anyone, by saying it's inspired by The Legend of Zelda. Would that be fair, Max?
Absolutely.
It kind of looks, it definitely has that 16-bit vibe using great pixel art. Now, you did the pixel art on this game.
Yep, I did all the things, everything, yeah.
You did the music.
Yep.
You made the sound effects.
Mm-hmm. Some of them even with my mouth.
And did you do the art?
Is that all he did with his mouth?
Oh, God.
That one piece of promo art that's the cover, I didn't draw that. That my publisher hired someone out to do the box art.
Right. And so that's pretty impressive to make a game by yourself. How long did it take from like when you first did, I don't know, place the first pixel? I've never made a game. Place the first pixel. When it released in 1.0 on Steam.
When I started out, I didn't know how to make a video game either or how to code. It was, I want to say, early 2017. I was like, yeah, I'm in my mid, late 20s. Time to start learning how to code, probably. Figured I'd make a video game to do that, I guess. So I think it overall took 5 years, approximately. Which I think is a pretty long time, but I didn't even know basic things like what is a function.
Yeah,
but that was all self-taught too, right?
Primarily. Yeah, I was making the video game for a while. For a year or two. And then I went to a coding school because I had been working at a Denny's. And I needed to get my life together. And I figured I should, since that was going pretty well with the video game.
It's funny you mention that. I get my life together when I order a Grand Slam, so.
But do you get your bowels Denny's together jokes. Later?
People come here for the Denny's jokes.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
People come to this Denny's parking lot because I invited him here to throw down. So I guess short answer is like 5-ish years from start to finish-ish.
And, I don't think this is your first go around though, right? You've had some smaller, maybe games I saw on itch.io or itch.io or however you say it.
Oh yeah. So that's actually a common misconception. So what had happened was I made Ocean's Heart, and that was the first game I'd ever really worked on, outside of like, you know, some RPG Maker projects when I was a kid. And I got to like the game is playable start to finish. You might call it like maybe beta stage. There was still some stuff to tweak and polish for sure. But I was at a stopping place and I wanted to find a publisher and work with them to go through that whole process of like actually getting it out there. So while I was looking for a publisher and sending out pitches and stuff on my off time, I decided to make more games. So that was where those small itch.io projects came from. So one of them I did was, it's called Yarntown, and it was basically like a 2D remake of Bloodborne. And a lot of people really liked that, and a lot of people played it, which was really cool.
What's the name
of
it
again? Unexpected. It's called Yarntown.
Yarntown.
Yeah.
I've just wanted to repeat it so if people are listening and they want to find it, they know what to look for.
Oh yeah, it's called Yarntown.
Get it great. Clear. We've said it three times now.
I think that's what they say for marketing.
So what does that invoke when we say it three times?
Mm-hmm. Candyman.
Michael Keaton.
Virtually the same person. So, what's your relationship with like Zelda Legend? Link to the Past is the one that this reminds me the most of. Why a Zelda style game?
So like, Zelda's long been my favorite series of games, just because like the way that those games put exploration and the way they put exploration in the forefront, like resonates with me the most out of like all the sort of kinds of video games you can have. Cause I like exploring in real life. I like poking around the woods and seeing what kind of weird fallen down houses are in there. I would love if I found a sword in one. I usually don't. So
an
like,
old man in there here, you're going to need this. Well, I would have other questions.
Yeah, that is honestly the most threatening statement you can make.
Yeah.
You're going to need this. So I've always loved the games, and I figured like for my first game, I didn't want to reinvent wheels when I didn't know the first thing about building wheels. I figured I should stick with a thing that I know works and that I really love, and see if I could make a good go at that. So, it reminds a lot of people of Link to the Past. I was going for, the Zelda that like stuck with me the most was Oracle of Seasons. There's definitely influence from all kinds of those games, and you know, obviously other places too, but.
It's funny that you mention exploring, because I ended up exploring far more than I actually did the story at first. So by the time I got to actual boss fights, I had so many hearts and was like so tanky that it was like, oh, was this what I was supposed to do in the whole time?
There are some differences here. The main mechanics of walking around, slashing your blade, having bombs and various things you see in Zelda are all here. There are something that I found a little different was a quest system that actually kept me on task. saying, here's what you need to be doing, because games like Zelda, they don't have, at least the classics, they don't have that sort of quest log. And so a lot of times when I boot up an old Zelda game, all right, what have I done last and where do I need to go? I did appreciate that it does have a quest log, but it also has a side quest that you can do to gain money, and that money can be spent on upgrading your gear. And so the RPG elements are light here in the sense that it's not like dex, and the only thing I know from RPGs is dexterity. Are there other
charisma.
Stats?
Dex, int, strength.
Everybody's sleeping on charisma.
Charisma, yeah. Then there's vitality.
There you go. Well, they have Max put vitality in this game, because it would be quite weird if you didn't have any at all. Along the way, you're collecting food that you can eat to restore health. I did not finish, sorry, Max, the game, but there is a crafting sort of system-ish.
Yeah.
Potion crafting.
There. Thank you.
Yeah, you can make different potions. You can make, there's like, I think, three different kinds of consumable weapons you can make. Be they like weird bombs or eyeballs that bounce around the room and hit enemies.
And your usual dungeons and caves. And I mean, you already know, like, if you hear, it's like The Legend of Zelda, whether you're in or out.
Pretty much.
Now, Scott, you beat the game, right?
Yes, I did complete the game, the primary quests. I am missing, I believe, two side quests. I looked them up online. Mm-hmm. After I beat the game, because I was actually missing two spells that I never picked up. And so, yeah, I finished the game completely on that part of it, but I am still missing two of the spells, which I believe, if I remember correctly, one of them is the Glades, if I remember. There's like three of them that you're supposed to defeat there, the monsters in there, and I haven't done that one yet. I've only gotten to two of the Glades. I don't know the other one. And then the Lighthouse quest line. I haven't finished that one yet either.
Nice. Yeah, well, you're pretty much there.
So, Max, let me ask you this. I imagine you played the Demon Souls and Dark Souls and Bloodborne games.
Yeah.
How much influence did those games have on this game? It's because I noticed that the difficulty level in this game gets pretty top notch, you know, as you progress along.
Oh, thanks.
And I felt myself having a tough go of things when I got, you know, comfortable playing the game, and you know, that's a testament to the difficulty level. So what did those games have any influence on your creation in this game? And just kind of go over what influences in the difficulty level did you have before this game was released, and then has it met, you know, what you expected?
Yeah. So it's I was definitely influenced by FromSoft's Ouvroi. My little sister got me into Bloodborne.
Ooh.
Oh, I brought the big words, guys. Don't you worry.
Ouvroi. I'm going to use that on Wordle. I hope it's enough letters.
It's not.
I don't, okay. Thank you.
You have to be five, right? Anyway, so yeah.
I don't know.
My sister got me into Bloodborne, and I really loved it. I hadn't played it for the longest time because I'm like, oh, it's a hard game. I'm not going to enjoy that. But I didn't really. I thought it was not really as bad as I was dreading ahead of time. Like, it's definitely got tough stuff. And I enjoyed that. But the thing that really got me in with the FromSoft games is the way they tell their stories and how open-ended they are. I really loved that. So I played Bloodborne, and then I was like, what did I just play? And then I watched all the YouTube videos about it, and I had a great time. And then my sister convinced me to keep going with the other FromSoft games. To the point, I just platinum Sekiro before Elden Ring came out, and now I'm on that, like everyone else is. But the difficulty, I actually wasn't necessarily going for anything akin to what FromSoft is known for. I wanted it to be like, oh, you're gonna have to actually pay attention and, you know, get some hits in, get some dodges off, rather than just blindly hacking away. But I also like when games are very forgiving and respectful of the player's time. That was a big tenet that I had, was I wanted it to be that you could not easily steamroll all the enemies all the time. But if you did die, it's not a big deal. It's just a little bit of a setback because you've probably got other games you want to play. And I think, yeah, especially as a you know, an indie developer making their first game, you kind of have to be aware of that it's not likely that your audience is going to give you the benefit of the doubt as much as they would with something that they already knew, be it that a pre-established franchise or a developer they were already familiar with, or a bajillion-dollar marketing campaign to get them familiar with it before they play.
So with me doing all the exploring ahead of time, because I couldn't, for some reason, I couldn't find where I had to go next, even though I had the quest, I was like, couldn't find the area. But I did so much exploring, I ended up getting a bunch of hearts, a bunch of coral to be able to upgrade my weapons, and so much other things. Like, I had probably, I want to say, like, 12 hearts by the time I even got the bow, which the bow is a major thing in this game. And so, when I finally went back to the main quest line, I steamrolled every single boss that I came across, and I was like, is this even a boss fight? Is this a normal enemy? Or but and I noticed, and I don't know if this was on purpose, just in case somebody didn't find enough of them, but I ended up with, I want to say, either 2 or 4 extra corals that couldn't be used to upgrade anything with.
Yeah, that was not on purpose. That's me not being able to count, actually.
Yeah, because like my sword and my bow is maxed up to the, like, it can't be like upgraded anymore, because every time I go to like a smith, they're like, nope, you're at the max of that. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this extra coral?
Yeah, you can use a couple of them on bombs, but you might have already done that. But yeah, no, what had happened was I hid all the collectibles so well that I couldn't find them. And I was going through like, oh, wait, okay, so divided, but you've got 4 weapons and you can upgrade them this many times. So you need, you know, like X amount of coral to upgrade everything. But how much coral do I have? And I totally lost track of it. So I just made sure there was enough. And then a little bit more just to be safe. Because the other thing too is like, you you want your players to be able to, if they want the game to be easier, to be able to keep upgrading their weapons. Even if they can't necessarily find every single hidden object or side quest, yeah, sort of like the Koroks in Breath of the Wild. Like there are these little hidden dudes that give you oops, bumped my microphone. These little hidden dudes that give you seeds, and there's 900 of them in the game, and more than 300 or 400 is absolutely useless. But they just counted on the fact that like players are gonna find them as they go and find a few of them, maybe not all of them. So I was kind of leaning into that, but also kind of just learning a valuable lesson about keeping track of the collectibles in a video game.
I think definitely having the surplus is the right side to err on, as opposed to being short. Because then, like me, I'd be wandering around the map forever. Where the hell is it?
Where's that last upgrade item?
I a question that actually has kind of always fascinated me. Your game on Steam has achievements, and I've always kind of wondered, from a programming and development side, how do you get this third-party software to recognize something that you've done in the game to be able to trigger an achievement?
Let's see. So, like, the basic version of it is you go to Steam. And you download a library, you download a file, like a package of code, and you just sort of plop that library next to your game, you know, with somewhere where your game can access. And then when within your game, let's say you've just beaten a boss and you want an achievement for that, you either write or find code online where someone's written a sort of adapter to interface between your language and that Steam library, and pretty much just say like, hey Steam library, update an achievement called this with this value and send that online, and then it sort of handles that for you. It works, it's just an API basically, if
okay,
you know what that is, but
roughly my brain is already smoking just a little bit from what you've said. I think I asked a question that's too deep for me to even understand.
Basically, the game just has a special Steam file that says, hey, can you unlock this achievement? And the Steam file says, yes, sir, right away. I'll go on the internet and do that for you.
Since it's gone to Switch, how well has it done compared to it being on Steam?
I think it's doing I think it's doing about what we expected. part of the division of labor between like the developer, me, and the publisher, my publisher, that was in Thompson.
NordCurrent Lab.
Yeah, NordCurrent, by handling the distribution, they handle all of the like seeing the numbers and keeping track of how sales are doing, et cetera, et cetera. If I wanted to, I could totally be texting a guy there every day and being like, hey, how are sales today? But, I just want to make the games. So, yeah. When the game came out, I would message him on Skype or whatever, you know, every week or every couple weeks. And then it's after a while, it goes down to every, you know, I'll check in once a month or every 3 months or every quarter when I get my statement. So I don't actually even know is my point.
Yeah.
Any plans to get it on any other platforms like Xbox or PlayStation?
Definitely nothing concrete. I've been poking around a little bit with Xbox, but I've also been poking around with making more games, and that is a little bit more fascinating to me. So it's gotten more of my attention.
So this clearly, again, has that inspired by Zelda look. Is there anything at other games or series that you look at and you're like, I want to do that now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like every time I play a different game, I'm like, oh, wow, this is so good. I want to do this. So
what
was
the last one?
I'm playing Elden Ring. That's my thing right now, like it is for tons of people, and like loving it. And I'm sort of like, oh, my gosh, it's like the way they've got these three different kinds of catacombs and caves and other kinds of, like, there's this sort of systematized, but everyone's unique. I really like the way they're doing their open world, and I'm getting excited about that. And I'm like, oh, how could I apply a more complex stat system to weapons? This is really cool. Can I inflict elemental damage on weapons? Before that, I played Night in the Woods, which is very different.
Totally different, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Jumping on power lines? I want a mini game where you play bass guitar. Bass guitar is rad.
Those are definitely two ends of the spectrum there.
So wait, you're actually playing a newer game right now? Because last I heard on Gaming Nexus, you don't usually jump into newer games.
Dude, yes. Yeah, so this is literally the first time I've ever played a game even close to its release. And it's kind of fun because all my coworkers are playing it too.
Yeah.
It's like talking to people about video games is fun. Who would have thought?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Because that's what we're doing.
I think Mark fell asleep.
I'm still here.
Yeah. What happened? We should mention that Mark was remarking on the difficulty. Mark has said on previous episodes, he's not one for games that have a lot of difficulty.
No,
Don't Mark. It's okay. We love you.
No, you're not going to throw me under the bus this week. All right. The game
next week. Then
this week.
Next week. Yeah, sure. But not while Max is here.
Behave.
The game difficulty. I didn't find it like super overwhelming. It's just I'm documented here on the podcast that, you know, as long as games challenge me, I'm okay with it. I am not a From Software guy. I don't enjoy those games just simply
more of
because
a Lego guy, Lego Batman.
You know, Lego Batman's I'm more awesome. Of an explorer guy, which yeah. I haven't played Elden Ring, and I'm excited to dive into that, is because it kind of blends everything together. But I don't enjoy the difficulty in the From Software games is because it almost takes advantage of the gamer and their anticipation of what to expect. And so, you know, when I started running into difficulty with this game, it just reminded me of, hey, you know, these other games that I asked Max about, you know, inspiration of, they also were difficult to an extent, but it provided enough for the gamer to do to keep them entertained and engaged. And I appreciate Max saying that he also looks at, you know, the gamer's interest and saying that, hey, you know, there's other games that you could be playing, and so we're not trying to make this game so super difficult. And so I appreciated that answer from him, but the game is, I think, appropriately difficult. and it does allow you to get into it. It does allow you the exploration, but also presents the difficulty that says, hey, this is not just going to be you steamrolling everybody in the game on your way to the finish. So I didn't finish the game, but I will finish the game, is because it does provide a pretty unique like middle ground to where it's entertaining, I'm engaged in the story, and I really appreciated all the dialogue in this game. It's because it wasn't your traditional Nintendo dialogue. It's kind of edgy dialogue, and I appreciated that, you know, from you, Max. And so that had me excited to talk to people. It's like, I was like, oh, okay, I got a little edge to this dialogue bubble here. Let me go talk to this next person. So
yeah, there was some nerdy jokes in there too.
Yeah, no, and see that's the stuff that gets undersold in indie games, is that there's direct influence over every aspect, including the dialogue or, you know, story that is told. And I appreciated the fact that it wasn't just your typical dialogue. And I will be finishing the game. It's just, you know, it's going to take me a little bit to get there.
Yeah.
We'll get Mark into indie games yet. He tends to make fun of me.
Don't label me.
Well, and he also says that pixel art looks unfinished to him.
No, nobody. Listen, I'm not. That's not a conversation for this podcast. Like, we've already gone over. Hit the back catalog for that argument.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of pixel art, and as someone who's tried at least a little bit to do any at all, how did you take to pixel art and making it and how long did it take you to get good?
So that one I've actually been doing for
Did we lose Mac?
Kind of been doing that for a minute. Oh yeah, I'm here. I've kind of been doing that one for a minute. So when I back in maybe middle school, I heard about RPG Maker, which to anyone who's not familiar is a computer program that gives you a point and click interface, point and click, drag and drop, click on things to script a Final Fantasy style game, like Final Fantasy maybe 6 or 5 or something. I don't know. I haven't actually played any of those, but I know that's what it's like. And I thought this was super neat because I was like, whoa, you can make a video game on your computer? That's tight. and I was like, I'm going to make a Zelda game because that's the one I like. But it's absolutely not what this program is for. It's called RPG Maker because it's for making RPGs, not Zelda games. But so I fought against that, and that's when I like started to learn how to do pixel art, basically just by making little edits to tiles ripped from pre-existing games. So this is like probably how most people get into pixel art. Definitely how everyone who I talk to usually gets into it when they're doing kind of like indie games or starting off with fan games, is they'll go to like Spriter's Resource or some other website where they can pull the graphics from a Game Boy game or a SNES game, and they'll use those in their game, but like they'll need something slightly different. Like, oh, I need this door to be an archway. Let me figure out how to do that. So then you'll be put it in your game and you'll have like, oh, it's the really nice graphics that Nintendo made plus this hideous archway that's weird and contorted. But you just keep doing that for long enough and you eventually start to catch on to some of the fundamentals. I mean, it's like any other kind of art. Like you do studies, you look at what other people have done and how they did it, dissect that, and then apply that to what you're doing, start making changes until you eventually internalize it. So it's not something I've been doing consistently, but I started probably 15 years ago or
nice
20 years.
It looks great. I'm a sucker for pixel art. Like if I'm scrolling through the Steam store or the Switch, and I see a game that has pixel art, I at least stop like that.
Yes,
I stop and I look, mm-hmm. And just look and see if it's something I'd be interested in, just because I find it so appealing. And it's probably because I'm an old man, but I just, I'm a sucker for great pixel art, and this game looks so appealing. There's a screenshot on the Steam page, which is like this little lagoon and the waterfall coming to, and it just, it tickles my heart and it makes me a kid again. And I love it.
Well, thanks.
Now, Scott, how long do you think it took you to finish?
I would say that the actual storyline, had I done that straight through, I think it probably would have been about 2 hours.
Two?
And is that sound about right, Max, or did he cheat?
He sounds speedy as f***.
Cheater. Cheater.
Like, I think I think when I, you know, I had to do tons of testing, obviously, I think I could, knowing exactly where to go and do everything, if I tried to just plow through just the necessary things, I could maybe get it done in like an hour, 10, an hour and a half. I think.
Yeah, that's just the necessary things that I'm
like, you're not thinking far off the speed run record, which I think is like 50 something minutes.
Oh, Scott, speed run it, buddy.
Well, see, I don't know the game well enough yet for that, but I mean, I'm saying as far as like just the regular, the actual quests that were for the main storyline.
You're subtracting what you think you spent on side quest.
Yeah, yeah. I'm subtracting what it took me. Well, how much time did I actually put in the game?
Yes.
I probably put in, I would say probably about 10 or 15 hours because I was doing.
I made too many side quests.
About an hour a day for the last two.
I don't think so.
Because no, it wasn't even that. It was the fact that I got so lost at first because I was looking for one of the ports and I couldn't figure out how to get there. And it was just like, I had to get to that port to talk to the friend that had been taken away because she had been seen in that port. But like by the time I finally got there, it was quite a while. Ridiculously long as far as me like just walking around and like finding, oh, here's a heart here, oh, here's this little mini dungeon here, oh, I think I can blow up that wall right there and make a cave and go in there, oh, look, there's a bear spirit that I have to kill. You know, just stuff like that.
Excellent. Well, I mean, and that's kind of the point. I feel like that's what I really like in games, at least, is if I know I need to go somewhere, I love getting lost on the way and finding cool stuff, you know, like that I feel like I'm not intended to get.
Oh, and that's exactly what happened too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like in Skyrim when you find I got to go do a quest and you find a cave and then you go in there and you find something else, you know, and you'd never actually get to what you're supposed to be doing. I think that's a good thing.
Oh yeah, exactly. I think
And I guess lastly, as a part of doing everything, what's your background in music and developing the music for this game?
Oh, it's just something I've been doing for fun. I think I started playing like bass guitar in fifth grade or so and just have been steadily picking up instruments since then and producing songs. I do audio engineering at my church. So over the past couple of years doing that, it's given me a lot of fun practicing mixing, mostly voices. We don't do super involved music there, but produced a few friends' records and stuff like that. So it's just another hobby that I like doing.
Yeah, cool. So Max has done the art, the music, the sound effects, the soundtrack, just about everything you can. So it's definitely a piece of art from Max that you can definitely check out. Now, Scott, you want to lead us into the finale of the show?
Well, so I wanted to say that this is $14.99 on Steam as well as the Switch. I know it goes on sale quite a bit on Steam, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if your developer has gotten any of the sales on the Switch yet.
It just came out last month.
Or not developer, sorry, publisher.
Yeah. I figured that's what you meant. Yeah, it's not even been on the Switch store a month yet, so I'm sure some will be coming up, but I don't. I don't keep track of that. I already have the game.
Yeah. So Max, what is? Do you plan to stick with the art style of this game as like your next offering? And where do you see your next game going from here?
So I think there's definitely a lot more in this particular kind of space that I'd love to explore. You know, with this sort of style of pixel art where it's cartoony and well defined, and in the top down
Desert's Heart.
Yeah, but doing that to like basically Zelda likes, like the top down action RPG. There's so many different kinds of mechanics that you can twist and change around and focus on one thing over another, that I think it's still a really fun place to explore. Like I'd mentioned earlier, like this is being my first game, this was very focused on the basics, you know, things that I knew would be reliable. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, I know shooting a bow and arrow is fun. So for one of those little follow-up projects that we had talked about later, one of them was called Hollow's Eve, and it's you play as a pumpkin man who has come from the Halloween land on Halloween when he can cross the barrier between dimensions because he wanted to rent Jurassic Park from Blockbuster.
Oh, God. So this is Nightmare Jeff Before Christmas. All over it.
But so that one I wanted to explore a little bit more of like being dodgier and throwing out like a more faster paced combat where you're throwing out ranged attacks and you've got to like be on your heels. And then something a little bit more linear and less open. And I feel like that had a, you know, it's a very small project. I spent like, I think the month of October just about on it. So it's definitely not as fully fleshed out as Ocean's Heart is, but I think it had a very different vibe just from me changing a couple small variables in the design. So going forward, I want to keep doing things like that. Like, going maybe more into the nitty gritty RPG aspects that FromSoft does with their like, oh, wow, you can have different, you know, sort of spec your character out to be more of a spellcaster or more focused on melee weapons. Or, you know, maybe do a game that's contrary to sort of the other end of that, where it's within the bounds of this sort of genre. Like, okay, this is really just focused on throwing your sword and summoning it back to you or something like that. So exploring those kinds of things is within the bounds of Zelda likes is what I think I'm going to do for at least a few more games.
Judgment.
So at the end of each episode, we decide whether the game deserves our seal or not and requires a 2/3 vote to be approved or denied.
Max, Jeff, what do you say? Do you like this game?
Well, for your seal, like a sea lion seal, do they have thumbs? Not going to be able to play it. I vote no.
Yeah.
Jeff, what's up?
Oh, yeah. This is great. I mean, if you like Zelda likes, you're on board. And I think it's well made. And it's that. And, I mean, one of the things that like Stardew Valley, the charm of it, I just was amazed. One guy did this. And now here's another one. One guy did everything you see here.
Okay, but even amazing. I think the Stardew Valley guy is kind of extra about it. Like, he went overboard. Like, dude.
Anyway. Yeah, his updates are all a little overboard.
he won't come after you, I don't think, maybe. Anyway, but yeah, it definitely gets right. So I think you're gonna have a good time playing it, especially if you're like me and you like pixel art and you like playing games that remind you of sitting in front of a tube TV with your Sega Genesis or your Super Nintendo. You'll be right at home.
Mark, how about yourself?
Yeah, so not everybody listening to this podcast is old like Jeff, but I do believe that this game blends the exploration aspect and the difficulty aspect in a well-told story. And so, yeah, it gets my seal because it does all these things, but it doesn't quite bash you over the head with any one particular bit of the game. And so for the price that you're going to pay for it, you're going to get your money's worth. And yeah, it gets my seal.
Mark has more gray hair than me. Go
That's
ahead.
Not true. That's not true.
It
all.
Is totally true.
That's because he's got a more stressful job. Come
That's
on.
That's true. That is
That
true.
Might be true. Well, I mean, that is true.
That might be true.
But I don't know, man. Sometimes while I'm doing order entry,
you're at the house.
Things get hairy.
All day. All right. get out of here.
This game is going to receive my seal. I absolutely loved it. It was so much fun to play it. I was a big, probably my favorite SNES game has to be A Link to the Past next to Metroid. But yeah, it gives me that vibe. It feels very good. The exploration was very nice because even though I was completely lost as far as the main story went, I was finding other stuff. I was like, oh, well, here's a side quest. I'll do this because I think I know where this is at. Oh, and this here and this here. Oh, yeah. So, yes, it will definitely get my seal. So this is unanimously Budget Arcade approved.
Now, Scott, I don't know how much of this story is true or not, so you're going to have to verify. But our late friend Aaron played at one of the Zeldas. It had to be like Link to the Past, probably. Wait,
are they dead?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
He passed away from colon cancer.
okay.
What
sorry
did you
about
think?
That.
Wait, way to chime in, Mark.
No, I did.
What else could that
was
have meant,
that was
Mark?
Unexpected on my part. I did not have.
Well, anyway,
nobody told me that was getting brought up.
He
so
told me.
Damn, bro, you're so cold-hearted.
When Scott was younger at his house, that he deleted his save file so Scott could just start a new one. Does that sound familiar, Scott?
On what game?
It was a Zelda game. I don't know which one. Link to the Past, maybe?
That would not be accurate because there's usually like three save files
that
you
could
do.
Well, that's what I mean. He probably had all three. Well, did you remember any game where you deleted one of his save files?
Where I deleted one of his save files?
You maniac?
I mean, it's quite possible. I was kind
of
a jerk back then.
You're that type of guy.
I mean, I did play, what was it?
Yes, I know. That Chrono Cross sequel.
No. It was Secret of Evermore.
Secret of Evermore. Yeah. Sorry, Joker. All right, Max. where can people find you? We already said you can find Ocean's Heart on Steam and the Nintendo eShop. Where else can people find you if they want to learn more? Your itch.io page, as I call it.
Yeah. If you're itching for games. No, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at 11Miraz. Which is the number, it's the number one twice. And then ooh, if you want to go to my
revolutionary.
If you, my games are on itch. If you look for Maxitrillionator, .itch.io, or just Google me. I mean,
yeah,
that's what I would
do. Scott will have those links
do
in the description, right, Scott?
sure. Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, you better.
Thank you, Scott.
You can also be found on the Gaming Nexus podcast too, correct?
Yes. I tell you, so the other week I was like, I feel like did we record this week? And we haven't recorded in like a month. I actually was not sure what's going on with that.
Ooh.
You hear it here.
You could then find him formally on the Gaming Nexus podcast.
Well, guess what? If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so at facebook.com/budgetarcade. Don't forget to check out Twitter and Instagram at Budget Arcade, as well as TikTok and Twitch.tv. That's at Budget Arcade Podcast.
If you want to help support the show, you can do so on our Patreon. It's patreon.com/budgetarcade. You can also get one of our t-shirts by the link in the show notes. Hashtag free mark. We have the
Ubisoft.
Save it for the seal. What's the other one?
I don't know.
We have a fourth one. I can't remember what's on the back of that one. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But if you do join our Patreon, you will get exclusive access to our Discord channel for our Patreon subscribers. And you can join our Discord from the link in our show notes. Our music is provided by Stimage, and you can download his music at metroidmetal.com. And game on.